What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Low Sodium Show, only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. I am your host, Mark Lenku Wheeler, and I cannot thank everyone for showing up tonight. You know, it's been a long time, about a week, since you heard my voice hosting the show, but here we are, rocking sock'em robots, awesome, the Low Sodium Show. You know, I'd like to thank everyone again for showing up. We already got a few people trickling in the chat room. We've also got a couple of guest callers. And, yeah, y'all, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to go ahead and break down this new show format. We're going less with the podcast, with the show, and more like a radio show. So let's break it down. Every show is going to have something different, but a few of the staples, most likely an interview with someone, breakdown on what's going on in the world of fishing. We're going to have a Bassmasters FLW segment, just breaking down what's going on in the major bass leagues because everyone is always interested in stuff like that. We're going to break down regional patterns. You've got a fish, you know, you live in San Diego and, you know, you're tearing up the big bass in those deep, clear reservoir lakes. Let us know. Let us know what's going on. You live in Minnesota and you're ice fishing for perch and crappie, and you want to let us know, let us know. You know, you've got a big bass, and I truly ask everyone, please send me pictures of your big bass. Let me know of a big bass, big fish being caught. We're going to have a segment called the Pig of the Week. Basically, show us your pigs. Show us that big old pig. Come on now. That's what I like to see. You know, we've got a bunch of great stuff going on. And it's going to be a ton of fun. Now, we will break it up into segments. And with those segments come with my personal sponsors or those that I support all the way through. But I have to give it to my biggest supporter, my wife, Becky, my family, and all of y'all that make this possible. Yak Chum, yo, thanks, dude. You've been here for the past year and a half just rocking it, brother. Hammerhead Greg Crisp has been with the Kayak Fishing Radio Network as a listener and a part-time host here and there for the past 2.5 years, since pretty much the beginning. Again, I cannot thank you all enough for being, you know, my, you know, weekly supporters, showing up and doing your thing. And everyone who listens on the podcast and everything else, we could not do this from Chuck to the Loziers to myself or Chip without y'all. It is truly a gift that we can touch y'all in a sense. And also a big... You know, if you don't know it already, go ahead, thank Chip for creating such an awesome format to get not just kayak fishing, but fishing in general out to the public. I mean, y'all, you don't understand how happy it is. Wednesday night comes around, the wife, she goes upstairs and leaves me alone. I get an hour and some odd minutes to sit here and talk fishing with y'all. Trust me, it's a great thing. You know, and Chip, he's a... You know, he created this 3 years ago, and we've refined it now, and y'all are going to see what happens here. It's going to be awesome, sauce approved. But I'd like to thank the ones that make it possible for me to do what I do now. You know, Orca Coolers, you're going to hear more about them later in the show. Bull Bay Rods, if you don't know, I was just picked up by Bull Bay on their pro staff, and I cannot say enough about those rods and those people, Dustin and Kelly, making one heck of a great rod. Jackson Kayaks, I like to shoot a humongous congratulations to Emily and Nick Troutman, Emily Jackson and Nick Troutman. They just found out that they're expecting a baby boy, you know, big, you know, awesome sauce approved. Shout out goes to them. You know, if I do things like this, I got to start thinking of sound bites to go with it, right? Come on. You know, Emily and Nick are some great folks, and, you know, it's going to be great to be able to sit there and pick on Eric Jackson now that he's a grandfather. you know, can I thank Jackson Kayaks and everything they do for the community and for the world, basically, through our outreach programs. Lightning Paddles, if you haven't heard about it yet, y'all, and you don't know, coming up at the end of the month, I'm going to be premiering the Lightning Paddle's newest fishing paddle. and you're going to want to be there for that. It's going to be some awesome stuff. Slayer Inc. Can't say enough about those swim baits and stick baits. If you haven't used them yet, and you fish salt, you fish the low sodium or no sodium, y'all, you got to try them damn things. They're awesome. Actually, I'm going to be throwing them a lot this coming weekend, and more on that later. And, of course, Mr. Tommy Head Jigs, he's in the house in the chat room. What's going on, man? You know what? I cannot say enough about the great products that Tommy brings out. And I just got you packaged, just got home a little later today, and I found them. The package there, Tommy, thank you so much. y'all, check them out, yeah. Yeah, definitely check them out. Great, great product, and they will literally blow your mind. But, of course, coming up after this quick short break, we're going to talk to the man, the myth, and the legend himself, Mr. Paul Van Reenen of Unfair Lures, and it's going to be truly awesome. So stay tuned for after the break, and we'll be talking with Paul in a minute. Get you some.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
Give me the flats of dawn, with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah.
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat, man.
I got one.
Oh, damn, I got him. You got it. I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
All right, y'all. Here we go. This is going to be awesome. I'd like everyone to give a big hand, say hello, you know, old school stuff here, to the man, the myth, the legend, like I said. Mr. Paul Van. What's going on, man?
No, you're making me feel young now, man. You're making me feel young with all that. It sounds like a bunch of skeletons throwing a fit on a tin roof. that comes out of my young days, man. I used to watch Foghorn Leghorn as a kid, you know. That guy, I tell you, Foghorn Leghorn, he still rocks, man, I tell you. He's freaking the best cartoons I ever seen in my life. You know, every now and again when I look at my bank statement, man, I just quickly go to YouTube and I put on Foghorn Leghorn and I feel good again.
Oh, man.
Or I go fish with Unfair Lures, man. I just go rip some lips and stretch some string.
What's going on, Mark? Not much, man. We've got this this new show, and of course you're the first host. You know,
fantastic. Jeepers.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
But for folks that don't know, Paul here is the owner, creator of Unfair Lures. Truly some amazing baits that I cannot say enough about. And you're going, well, he's showing all these fresh saltwater fish. Y'all, I am telling you what, right now, okay, if you live in, I'm going to say anywhere from like South Carolina to Pennsylvania, and you take that line of states and you go straight across the other side, you will find a lot of these fish are suspended, and everyone's throwing jerk baits. All right, I am telling you, take a couple of his baits, the mullet, the greenie, and the rip and splash, and y'all, you better have two hands on the rod and some good strong line, because those bass aren't just touching it. Okay.
I just want to tell your listeners. Hey, Mark, I want to tell your listeners I ain't paying you to say this.
No, he is definitely not paying me. I was out yesterday before all this the storm moved in. Now this is post-front, pre-front, nasty conditions, and literally in 10 casts from the bank of a local lake, I put 8 bass on the ground.
Fabulous,
so,
man.
You know, that says something about a bait. But Paul, I'll let you take the helm here and explain to me how you guys, you know, started with Unfair Lures.
You know, I just want to say hello to all the listeners too, man. Every single listener on the show, man, you guys are our fisho friends. You know, we're amped to be involved with you guys and also with Chuck, you know, on the radio show. But more specifically, you know, you're the man of the moment, Mark. I appreciate, you know, your invite. And we're humbled, man, with the response we've received here in the States. You know, I come from a fly fishing background where, to date, I've got 347 species, and
wow.
I took fly fishing to a different level for myself. You know, when I was a little bit younger and I was fly fishing a bit more regularly, I could throw a 10-weight shade over 200 feet, which used to fly in the face of some of the establishment. But anyways, you know, getting back to my fly tying, I was always very accurate with my fly tying. Like, for example, folks, the guys can Google the Paul's Polar Fiber Minnow, which is still, it's a trademark fly of mine, and it's probably one of the number one fish flies all over the world, made with a product called Polar Fiber. So anyways, I've caught a lot of fish, you know, tying accurate flies. But
right.
You know, the fly fishing business with the cost of fly fishing equipment was just going down the tubes, you know. So I went back to South Africa, put my kids to school, my wife and myself. You know, I've got 5 kids. And by the way, if you want to butt in, you're very welcome. If you want to laugh about 5 kids, I don't watch TV, so. but anyways, I work you know, I wanted to go into an industry where there was opportunity for growth and where there was money. And the spin fishing
right.
industry, you know, when I used to have kids coming up to me, you know, and they said to me, oh, man, I want to learn to fish, and I've got a fly, I've got a G. Loomis GLX in my hand, and it's an $800 rod with a $500 reel and a $120 fly line. That kid ain't going to go fishing, man. And his father will just say to him, son, take up bow hunting. It's much cheaper, you know.
Yeah.
So in the spin fishing industry, you know, I can pretty much fish a $30 combo. Man, and you can have, I mean, the Nick with a pink Barbie rod challenge, I tell you what, they have caught some stunning fish with those little Barbie poles. Have you seen some of the pictures?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those guys are having a blast, man. That's how you freaking grow the fishing business.
Exactly.
You know, so kudos and high fives to Nick there too. He's doing a freaking fab job. But, you know, getting back to the unfair lures, when I decided to come into the lure market, I looked at what is available in America. You go to most of the tackle stores, you've got Merilure, you've got Rapala, you've got Yozuri, you've got DOA, you've got some Bomber, you've got some little bit of this, you've got Live Target, Sabeel. But most of the lures are very generic. In other words, they're kind of sort of like a banana with a lip on them. All of them.
Right.
The whole freaking lot of them. So I decided, you know, with an engineering background, I was going to make something hyper-accurate. I was going to get smart. For example, sakes, I was going to give America and the world their first hard plastic shrimp that actually swims the right direction, that behaves correctly when it's attacked.
Right.
The guys that know my Paul Dinkum shrimp, they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, like my little Dinkum mullet. Now, Dinkum is a Southern Hemisphere slang term for the real deal.
Right.
So my little mullet is actually a laser-scanned live mullet that we did a stereolithography model of, and we developed it from there, et cetera. But it's got amazing technology on it, like color change technology. You know, most guys, when they go live bait collecting, and if you find like a little school of mullet that you want to throw a net at, the first thing that you pick up is one that's injured, the one that's missing scales. So
right.
My little mullets have got like vertical bars on them when you look at it from behind, and it looks like rows of scales are knocked off of it. So we've built anomalies into the bait. But the key thing, I tell you, Mark, the key thing with my lures, man, is that they are under the surface of the water, they are hydrodynamically accurate. In other words, My mullet makes exactly the same sonic wave underwater that a little mullet does. So there's no hesitation for a fish to bite it. You know, on Sunday, I love watching NASCAR. Do you like NASCAR?
I love NASCAR, man.
All right, man. Your points have just gone to freaking 11 out of 10. I love NASCAR as well. It's such a great sport. I love it. So anyways, after taking mommy to breakfast on Sunday, I said, you know, I was going to go throw a line a bit here from about 11 till about 2:30.
Right.
I tell you, Mark, in terrible conditions, man. I was fishing my rip and slash, which is like a little goggle eye, like a little Spanish sardine kind of. And I got like 3 redfish in terrible windy north wind conditions. And I got 23 trout, dude. And they're on my Unfailures Facebook page. The guys can see the pictures there. But it was like shooting turkeys it was just ridiculous. It was just great, man. So I wanted to basically make my lures that they would be inexpensive, around $8 to $9. That's where I want the price of the lures.
Right.
So we're not greedy, you know. There's no sense in my lures being $16. There's just absolutely no sense in it. And when the guys take my lures fishing, they can have fun. They can catch fish. You know, that's what's friggin' important for me. I want guys catching fish, and you know, when they get involved in their website and the little package insert, you know, teaches the guys how to, you know, be careful with our marine grasses and that kind of stuff. So, you know, Unfair Lures is just involved in the fishing game big time.
Oh, exactly. And for those that don't know, and I'm going to tell you right now, Paul's got 2 lures that I really think that the freshwater industry can really get behind, and that's the Pee Wee Man, which is a small little crankbait, and I've been salivating over that for a while now. It's, 55 centimeters, so I'm going to say maybe 1.5 to 2 inches long, okay? It's a small little crankbait, and it's not meant to go deep, but looking at it, if you have an area that has a nice flat, I'm talking 3 to 4 foot flat with some grass that rises up off the bottom, okay, that is prime territory to throw a small crankbait like that. And because, as Paul said, spinning gear, you don't have to bust out the bait caster. Okay, you don't have to be a bait casting freak. And because of the size, it's going to make throwing it on a bait caster really difficult. But you throw that on a spinning rod, okay, and you run that across there, that bait's only going to dive maybe 2 or 3 feet with 20-pound fluorocarbon, okay? It's going to dive down there. It's going to tip the tips of those grasses, okay?
Yep.
That is going to imitate your small brim, your small bluegills, your small shads. It is absolutely, I'm telling you, Paul, that is going to be a bad catch.
Yeah, man, we're empty. I've already sent some of the rip and slashes and the mullets, you know, to the sort of Midwest areas where the guys have got smallmouth bass and largemouth bass.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are tearing them up, man. One guy wrote me and he said to me, it's just freaking ridiculous. I had an opportunity to go fish with a local taxidermist 2 weeks ago. In a ginu, like in a swamp where only he's allowed to set foot. You know, this is kind of it's like private land and hang of a difficult to get in there. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, we arrive. The pictures are on the Unfailures Facebook page. But when we were at Strike Zone in Melbourne, one of the associates there said, you know, forget about those hard lures, man. You got to have soft plastics if you want to catch big bass. So I said, we'll just see. I tell you, at 9:30 in the morning, my taxidermist friend, his soft paddle tails and his jerk shads and worms are lying in the bottom of that ginu. He had a rip and slash on. I had like 9 species by 9:30 in the morning, man.
Wow.
9 species. Can you believe it? Like all the different breams, mudfish, gars. I got a 52-inch gar the other day, which was it was phenomenally strong. It's also on the Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
But the rip and slash just produces unbelievably. You can twitch it in like 3-4 inches of water, or you can count it down and fish it in 6 foot of water if you want.
Right. Yeah, I'm over excited about those rip and slashes because it's something that the bass have not seen. If you fish if you're in Alabama and you fish Guntersville, I hate to tell y'all folks, you know, that is a really heavy pressured lake. You know, you name the big lakes that the Bassmasters hit, which we're going to talk about the Classic in a little bit. That's some craziness right there, y'all, about how much pressure. But the other bait that I wanted to hit on was the stick minnow. It's a jerk bait, okay? And I saw this while I was at Handler Fishing Supply down in Florida. And I really wish I would have picked some up there. Gosh darn it, that would be an excellent bait right now. Because so many people are, you know, we are dealing with suspended bass. And throwing a jerk bait is absolutely killer right now on those big bass. And for everyone that doesn't believe that you can catch, you know, bass on saltwater gear, I'm going to tell you right now that most of your freshwater gear, I hate to say it, but it's, you know, based off of saltwater technology, you know.
Pretty much, yep.
You know, everyone's throwing the Alabama rig. Hate to tell you. Everyone's saying, oh, it's the newest, greatest technology. Y'all, it's being used. But, you know, it's an umbrella rig. It's a cast bowl umbrella rig, okay?
Yeah.
And for anyone who's ever been striper fishing or has seen the smaller umbrella rigs out there, I'm talking the ones with the 12-inch spread. Every last one of us who's been there long enough have been looking at them and going, you know, I bet you I could cast that. And I've probably tried. I can raise my hand and say that I've thrown a big umbrella rig, that big umbrella rig on a heavy duty rod and caught stripers off of it. Okay,
yeah.
So right there, you know, it's just crazy stuff.
They're
coming off of the old bombers. Yeah, go ahead, man.
Mm-hmm. I can't contain myself here. The Stickmano 100. Is going to get in the next month a smaller brother, a little Stickmano 70.
Right.
So, the Stickmano 100 on the website, he's got a particular shape, and we're going to be adding a gill to it. It's going to have a three-dimensional bleeding gill and a dressed rear hook at no additional fee on the lures. They'll still be the same price. And
wow,
that Stickmano, the Stickmano does most of the suspending baits. You know, when I was looking at the baits as an engineer, just, you know, I've done a lot of diving in my life and I've fished all my life. I'm sort of like a curious fisherman. I always believe that there's a better mousetrap somehow.
Right.
But if you look at and I'm going to mention a brand, for example, so let's take the Rapala X-Wrap that suspends. You know, you reel them down to a depth, and if you suspend them, they like hang sort of level in the water. Now, my Stickmano 100, I've changed all that completely. What I do is it's a floating, so you work it down into the zone, but the moment you suspend it, it's tail heavy, it actually goes tail down, head up, and floats up to the surface. But in going to the top, the lip makes it go side to side. It actually has a swimming action back to the surface. So it looks like an injured bait.
Wow.
So we'll have a small one like that in about a month and a half, and also our current 100. So they'll have a gill, and they'll also have a bit of twinkle fiber on the rear hooks.
That's awesome.
For around $8, man, I tell you what, I'm amped.
Yeah, that's going to be a killer bait, not only in the freshwater scene, but for those that have the ability to hit saltwater, that's going to be, you know, a trolling lure. You know, you can troll a jerk bait like that.
Sure.
Especially in a kayak, 2 or 3 knots, put an inline sinker in front, and you can drop it down to any depth you want and absolutely tear them up. Tommy Head Jigs asks, what type of hooks are on the unfairs?
The unfairs, you know what I wanted to do, you know, coming, you know, from South Africa to America, my dream was to have my lures made here. I wanted to do something value-added for the United States. You know,
right.
If I'm going to live here, I don't want to be another foreign tick on Uncle Sam here, if you understand what I'm saying.
Exactly.
I wanted to do something value-added, man. So my lures have a minimum of 4 components made in the United States. My hooks are Eagle Claw Kale-style laser hooks. And I must tell the guys on air, the guys that are listening, they are not like the 4X thick wire diameter high-carbon steels. You struggle to get penetration with those hooks. Mine are 2X thin wire diameter, but I tell you what, Mark, I mean, you know, the guys that fish the unfair lures know. If a fish looks at that lure, I own his ass.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's in playing that fish carefully to the side. That's, you know, if you're just a little bit more careful, those hooks are absolutely fine. I only fish 20-pound braid, whether I'm on the flats, whether I'm doing sort of side casting in the lagoon, I only fish 20-pound braid. And from there, I worked my leader down. But basically, where my hooks don't stand up well is with the wide jaw players, the Van Stahl type players. When guys release fish, hold the leader and grab the hook by the shank and try and shake the fish off.
Right.
The hooks don't like that. I think no hook likes that. So, you know, pretty much you want to use a narrow jaw player and just ease the hook out of the fish's mouth, and then you're absolutely fine. I've got like rip and slashes that I've caught probably 50 to 60 fish on with exactly the same original set of hooks. But yeah, wow. to answer the listener's question, I use Eagle Claw Kale hooks. They're laser sharp. They're the best hooks for me, and they're proudly made in America.
There you go.
All right. Well, Paul, we're going to end the segment with a quick little speed round. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. First thing
that'd
that comes
cool.
to mind, and don't be afraid. I won't embarrass you too bad. All right. We're going to start off with favorite fish.
My favorite fish to catch would probably be back in South Africa, either smallmouth bass or tiger fish in the Zambezi River, but certainly here in the United States, I'm very fond of redfish, and I'm looking for somebody to take me tarpon fishing, man. I want to catch a big poon still on my lures. I've never caught a big one.
All right, cool, man. What's your favorite food?
Favorite food is definitely got to be beef, pizza. I used to have an organic pizzeria in South Africa with all I do artisan breads. I still do. So I'm a baker as well. But I love good pizza, but beef I'm very fond of as well.
Right. Boxers or briefs?
Hell, I'm a brief guy, man. I'm not a boxer guy at all. I hate sweaty tools, man.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
It's gotta be chocolate.
Chocolate? And the best hard baits made in the world?
Man, that's a tough one, I've got to say. The way I make my unfair lures, with my spirit of excellence and the way I want to never have flipping egg or mud on my face, I've got to say they're the best made lures in the world, the unfair lures.
Awesome, man.
Best and components, best techniques to put them together, etc.
There you go. All right, folks, if you don't know, I'd like to say give a big thank you to Paul for coming on the show. Paul, I invite you to stay on the line and add anything
that's
you
great,
want to
man.
In
that's
the next
great,
segment.
And the guys can go www.unfairlures.com if they want to check out the website. It's a very basic website. You know, I've tried to I'd pretty much do that all myself until I can afford a real razor-sharp web guy that can put bells and whistles on the website. But, yeah, the guys can see all the different models, and the guys can definitely send pictures in for us to post on the website. And then, obviously, like us at Unfair Lures on Facebook, we put a lot of information on the Facebook page. And, you know, we try and grow the industry just like you're doing, Mark.
All right, man. Well, I cannot thank you enough for coming on. I absolutely love your stuff, and we'll talk soon. And, of course, you can stay on and hang with us for the next few segments.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. I'll do so.
All right, and folks, you are listening to The Low Sodium Show only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. Are you looking for your next rod? Don't want to have to deal with the same problems of buying an expensive rod and finding out it's just junk? Well, look no farther than Bull Bay Rods. Made in America by Americans, it is a truly American company. Started in 2009. They're based out of Lakeland, Florida, and making some of the best rods in the industry right now. With a patented Senzi grip technology and Superflex, y'all, you have no idea how awesome these rods truly are. And at a decent price point, anyone can own these rods. For more information, please stop by at bullbayrods.com. Like them on Facebook at Bull Bay Rods, and get out in the water and go catch a bull. All right, folks, you've heard about me talk about Slayer Inc. now for the past month, 2 months, 6 months. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. They're the best soft plastics in the world. Y'all, you have no idea how awesome Slayer Inc. is. Started back in 2010 by Chris Sensi out of Jacksonville, Florida, with his jig heads, truly incredible, super sharp mustad hooks. And then he stepped up his game with the sinister swim tail, with the chicken off the chain color, purple nopal, gold finger, and many others. The bounty hunter, y'all, if you live in Louisiana, that's a bass-kicking freak right there. Definitely check them out. And made in America by Americans. Can't say enough about that, y'all. So get yourself some Slayer Rings and slay some fish, man. Remember, go to SlayerInc.com, like them on Facebook, Slayer Inc., and get your fish on, man.
Get your fish on.
All right, I'd like to thank everyone for showing up. You're listening to the Kayak Fishing Radio Network, the Low Sodium Show. I got a little backwards there. But, man, here we go. This is a new segment. It's going to be on all the time. What is it? And I think you kind of figure it out with the little something-something I got. Come on now. Do your thing. Loading. Come on. Come on. Really? We're going to play games, aren't we? Come on. Oh, it doesn't want to run the sound bite. No! Can anyone else hear the sound bite? Because I can't. No, not technical difficulties. Come on, man. Play the sound bite. Oh, no. Oh, well, I'm going to work on getting the soundbite working. But this is the pig of the week, okay? And you're going, the pig of the week? Yes, folks, the pig of the week. Each week we're going to showcase one big fish, okay? So I'm telling everyone, all right, go out there, catch a big fish, send me a picture, send me a story. Oh, there it is. Woo! Get you some of that. Oh, come on now. Play it one more time. Because I don't know if you guys can hear it. Really? But the pig of the week, right? So, the first pig of the week has got to go to the Osarch team and those guys down in Florida right now. They hammered the first great white shark off of literally the beach, right there at the mouth of the St. John's River, right before we had the little Talbot Island boondoggle, the first one. Absolutely insane. Like them on Facebook as Osearch, Chris Fisher, dude, I cannot give you enough props, and everyone else involved with that. You did it awesome. Land a cow for the pig of the week. I'll take salt, I'll take fresh. We're going to have the pig, the squeaker, the slant haunch with the kitty cat crunch, good old big old fat hoss. That's what we're talking about. So get out there and go catch you some. All right. I need a moo. I'm going to have to put a moo if my pig doesn't work. Golly. Come on. Come on. See, I didn't feed the pig. That's the problem. It's just looking at me going, I'm not feeding
the pig in a week.
Get you some of that. All right. I love it. And then I'm doing a two-part pig of the week. This goes out to everyone that fished the Bassmaster Classic 2 weeks ago. Y'all are some crazy butters, dude. They had freezing guides and and everything else, but Iaconelli I cannot remember his name, Chris, guy who won the Bassmasters, and Brandon Polinick absolutely hammered the bass. We're talking 20-some-odd pounds in the sack, where names like, where big names weren't catching barely any, and that's huge. I mean, KVD, 2 days in a row, couldn't even put a limit in the boat. That tells you something. So, not Chris Lane. What was his? And Chris Lane, Bassmaster Classic champion from the year before. First day, comes up with a big old goose egg. Y'all, that's huge. But he came back that day two, put something like 19 or 20 pounds in the boat. I give him props. You know, that's why they're the best in the world. So definitely, you know, big props to them. And we're going to recap that what they were using and talk about how even kayakers in general can use the same stuff. And you'll find that all of them had pretty much the same bait tied on, with a little exception of a few. Now, if you watch this TV show or you watch the Bass Zone or the War Room, they kept on talking about jerk baits, okay? And there were two main jerk baits, two or three, okay? A slip pointer, 110, okay? The Smithwick, 3-hook, okay? And the KVD jerk bait, okay? Those were the three main jerk baits everyone was using. And actually, the classic was won on a Smithwick. Smithwick, all bugger, I don't have it with me. But an absolutely awesome bait. It's an old school bait. It is really light, okay? So I do behoove you of throwing it on spinning gear, okay? Use a 7.5-foot, 8-foot rod, and you can get that bait a good ways. Chris Pace, thank you very much. Was the winner of the Bassmasters Classic, and I know everyone was rather surprised that Chris did as well as he did. And I know everyone seemed to, you know, hit on him that he was kind of weird or a little freaked out at the end of the Classic when he finally won. But, y'all, I had a great opportunity of sitting there with Gerald Swindell on Saturday and talking to him about it, and Dave Mercer, the MC. And Dave was telling me that if you couldn't tell on the TV, but Chris was shaking so bad that and sweating that he thought he was going to drop out right there and fall flat on his face. But, of course, after everything went down, he had his groups of friends and everything around him. He loosened up and had a great time. So to Chris Pace, we give you a big old – none of the sound bites are working. That's going to be a problem in the end of the show because I got some awesome sound bites. Great. All right. Need to figure out what's going on with that. So, how do you run these jerk baits? All right, they were using 10, 12, 15-pound tests, depending on how far they wanted that bait to go down. They were all using suspending baits, or they were using a floating bait with either lead wire tied around the hook, the two center hooks. So you're all using 3-hook baits on these big Smithwicks. Or they're using suspend dots, or suspend strips to make that bait slow down its ascent back to the surface, okay? Giving that look like a dying shad is floating back up to the surface and then giving it that snap to get it back down, just like a shad will do. You know, colors you're going to want, you cannot go wrong with silver body, black, blue, red, orange, back. You just can't beat it. Another thing you need to think about is with those baits, there were several guys fishing them really slow. And even the man, the myth, the legend himself, Rick Lund, was saying, you got to fish these baits real slow. If you watched Iaconelli in the TV show, or you watched Cliff Pace himself, or Polinick, or Jeff Christie, the hometown hero there, they weren't fishing them very slow. And what I mean by slow is 7 to 8 counts, which are forever in the bass fishing world. They were actually, you know, snap, 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 1, 2, 3, snap, snap, 1, 2, snap, 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 and then counting up to 4. And they were hammering the bass. I think I can tell you the first day he caught 30 fish. That's unheard of. You know, and it's just crazy. The next bait they were using, okay, is a very simple bait that really doesn't get used enough, and that is a football head jig, okay? They're great for that time of year because they had a really heavy-duty slope on the bank. They were putting it in the shallow and then dragging it down over every last rock. That place doesn't have grass. It doesn't have lily pads. It is straight, you know, what's on the bottom is what holds those fish. And they're dragging them over the peat, gravel, and the smaller rock, the bigger rock, working it through there and getting those bass to come off the suspend and coming down and hitting those baits. And actually, they were moving horizontally, is what they were saying, because they would catch a few with the jerk bait away from the bank and the bottom, and then catching those fish, you know, if they would catch them in 4 foot, they would work the bait down to 4 feet and still catch them, which is telling you that those bass are moving laterally and not vertically. And then, one of my favorites, one of the Hoss Boss Kitty Cat Crunch, good stuff right there, man. Baits, they're using a crankbait. Gerald Swindell hooked me up and got me a couple of those wiggle warts and the scatter wraps, and I'm super excited to try them out. I cannot thank Gerald enough. Hopefully we'll have Gerald and Mr. Mercer, Dave Mercer, the crazy man himself, and a great, great American himself, Mr. Mark Zona. He'll be on the show probably in May after the Sabine River and one or two other Elite Series tournaments. And that should be a ton of fun right there. It sounds like a fair trade-off. Yes, it does. And, yeah, it's going to be awesome. But they were working those crankbaits, again, floating crankbaits with suspend dots to make them into a suspending crankbait, okay? And they run it to where they want it to, snap the rod tip a few times, run it 10 feet or so, and then just let it sit there, okay? It would slowly rise up, okay? As it would rise up, that's when they would get the hits. Awesome, awesome stuff. It's right there. But we'll take a quick break, get a couple words from my personal sponsor, and do it right. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. And you are listening to The Low Sodium Show only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. Yeah, boy. Oh, just lost it. No. Come on, play. It's not going to work today, is it? All right. I'll try to get a sound bite in there. But it's not working. So with that, we're going to go with straight up this. Jackson Kayaks. For those that don't know, Jackson Kayak is an all-American company. And what do we mean by that is, yes, they do import some products, but they import them from around the world, meaning North Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee, South Carolina, Wisconsin. All their products come from America, by Americans, for Americans, 1,000% made in the USA. Started from a small little hut making whitewater kayaks to now leading the industry in their fishing and whitewater kayaks. For more information, go to jacksonkayak.com, check them out on Facebook, and get you some of those fish on a Jackson Kayak. Now I want to play. God. All right. And, of course, Lightning Paddles. Stay tuned. End of the month, for those who are going to be in Jersey, going to be premiering the Redfish Paddle at the Jersey Paddle Sports Show at the Jackson booth. It'll be awesome. I know Yak Chum's going to be there. I know Eric Jackson's going to be there. Drew Gregory, most likely. It is going to be awesome. So please check it out. At the end of the month, I'll keep you all informed. And, yeah, should be a ton of fun with this new paddle. I cannot say enough about it. And, yeah, cool. Let's see here. Let's try this one. Does it work? No, not going to work. All right. Great. All right. Welcome back to the Low Sodium Show on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. We're going to hit the regional reports real fast. I'm going to start off with the far northeast. Sorry, y'all. UK is getting snowed on. But I've heard really good reports from those that have been fishing through the ice that they've been getting really good perch, really good crappie. They're starting to move up to those ice out areas on those ledges and everything else. Focus on it yourself. If you know the lake when it's not frozen over, on the spots where it was really thick with the hydrilla, have been really productive, along with the lily pad stems have been really productive in about 8 foot of water. So definitely check that out. They've been catching them on spoons and small, like one-tenth jigs in chartreuse, baited with a leech, a maggot, or a small shiner. All right. That's the northeast. Going over down to the southeast. Y'all are in the pre-spawn mode from Georgia west to Mississippi and Louisiana. You guys, like I said, it's pre-spawn. You guys should be in 52 to 56 degree water. Okay? That's where you want it. Those bass are starting to move up to this pre-spawn spot. Crankbaits, spinnerbaits, heck, a big dog turd would probably catch you a monster bass right now. Early morning, work those top waters early morning, y'all, and do some work with that. Is that my, that's my sound bite finally playing. That's not my sound bite. It might be. That's definitely not my sound bite. Hang on, y'all. All right. I've got a major delay. Wow. So we're going to move over to Texas, up to Oklahoma. If you watch the Bassmaster Classic, you know what Oklahoma holds. Okay? Don't need to say more about Oklahoma, but the big bass down Lake Fork in southern Texas. Again, they're in pre-spawn spawn mode. Find those bass, and you can do some work. Yeah, I'm loving this right now. Going all across to California, Utah. The lakes are holding bass, okay? They're holding them deep. Big swim baits are really doing well right now. I think California is on a weekly stocking basis right now, trying to supplement those bass with some really big trout to get them ready for the spawn. And I'm telling you, that's where the next world record is going to come from, okay? The rivers out there, Utah, Colorado, are holding really nice trout. For all you bug slingers, you really got a great chance of having some really good fun out there catching them bad boys. Up in the northwest, again, the trout are really picking up. The water temps are hitting where they need to be with the nice runoff now. That those trout are really getting feeding heavily. Several hatches have already started in some of the other climbs. So definitely check that out. All right, the upper Midwest. If you guys can find an idea to get out without a storm, again, they've been doing really well and actually been catching a lot of muskies in Minnesota and Wisconsin recently. They've been doing really well jigging vertical jigs, a small little 2-inch vertical jigs, rather rapidly, just a straight yo-yo style, not reeling anything, just keeping it in one depth and letting it just come up and flutter, up and flutter, up and flutter. And they've been doing really well on the muskies, along with the tip-tops and everything else along with that. Really killing it. And I think the last place to do is the Mid-Atlantic. All right. The Mid-Atlantic is really getting there, y'all. It's really starting to pick up. Water temps here in Virginia on the shallow lakes are hitting 56 degrees in the afternoon. But the only problem is that they're warming up from about 49 to 50. So, yes, they are in the pre-spawn mode. They are moving up to those staging areas. And running a crankbait through there is really productive. On the major rivers, the New, the Susquehanna, the James, and many others, through West Virginia, Maryland, and North Carolina, they have been doing very, very well on big spinnerbaits, rolling them around, and actually dead-sticking a fluke in the rivers for the smallmouth. Really tearing them up with them and doing very, very well. I think that covers everything. All the states, all the regions. like to take a quick word before we call out and do one more spot.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
Are you a fish show? You're going, what's a fish show, man? A fish show is an angler that uses unfair lures. Take the unfair advantage. Pick you up some unfair lures right now. If they're not in your local tackle shop, demand it. Demand them things, y'all. They will catch you fish. All right? So for more information, go to unfairlures.com, like them on Facebook at Unfair Lures, and get you some. All right, folks, we're back. I'd like to give a big shout-out to Tommy Head Jigs and just awesome baits there. Sorry, buddy, I didn't get to your spot. I do apologize. But my phone's dying and my laptop's dying. But, yeah, Tommy Head Jigs are great on any plastic. I will be doing a video on Tommy Head Jigs in the near future on all the flexibility of their gear. I would like to thank Paul for showing up. Dude, awesome. Thank you so much, man. Oh, man, we got a caller. Finally, caller. Hang on. Area code 407, you are live on the Low Sodium Show on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network.
How are you, dude? This is Steve Chapman.
Hey, Steve.
I'm sorry I'm calling late, but I started playing with my little boy and then realized it was past 8 o'clock, so I was giving you a shout as fast as I could.
It's my fault, man. For those that don't know, this is the host, along with Michael DeGoe and Boudreaux, Mr. Steve Chapman of the Fishing Florida Radio Show. You can catch them on 740thegame. .com anywhere in the world. I listen to them every Saturday, and you should too. Give me a recap of what you found at the Classic, man.
Well, it was the first time I've ever been to a Bassmaster Classic, and overall, if anybody's nearby one of these classics, like next year they're at Lake Guntersville in Alabama, if there's anybody that's nearby, it's well worth going and seeing just the production and meeting the anglers. It's really, really much bigger than words can actually describe it. It is an awesome event. I was flabbergasted, to be honest. You guys with the Kayak Fishing Radio, if you're there, you can request media passes, and you can get up close and personal with all of the anglers now. Does that mean they're going to tell you what they're using? You know, they kind of give you the runaround nonstop. But it's really an event, man. It is really cool.
That's awesome, man. I was able to talk to Gerald Swindell and Dave Mercer, and I hate to tell you, I name dropped you a couple times, and you're like, yeah. And, of course, Gerald, and that goofy guy that he is, kind of looks at me and goes, did they have a dude, like a goatee, short, little pudgy? And I was like, yeah, no, Boudreaux? He's like, oh, yeah.
Well, Boudreaux did something that Mike and I didn't do. We had said when we decided, because I was just going to go by myself, because I thought it's a really good way to go up and meet people for the radio show and to see what it is and take on that whole thing. So when Mike and Boot, Mike instantly said, Steve's going, I'm going. Steve's ass there, my ass is there. And then getting Boot over there was another part of the whole thing. But we had said, let's try to do everything that we can. And when they started in like media day where they get all the people in one big room, and interview people one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bugo actually went out on Friday with Skeet Reese and went, well, not really fishing with him, but went out on the boat with him in like 19-degree weather. And the best part about this is if there's a few people that have very good personalities out there, I mean, your Mike Iaconelli and Skeet Reese and Boyd Duckett and Brandon Palinick and Brandon Carr, these guys are very open and polite to the media.
Mm-hmm.
So when Skeet found out we interviewed Skeet the day before he was taking Boudreaux fishing, and we just kept saying, man, you have no idea. The curse is going to follow you. You're going to have the worst day of your life of the classic. Now we're busting his chops and hoping that he did really well. But then of all things, he did crap and actually took himself out of the tournament. So from Friday on, every time Skeet saw Boudreaux, he either told him, you're fired, I hate you, get away from me, don't go near my booth. He constantly made fun of Boudreaux like we make fun of him. And it just added even more to the whole thing. It was and Boudreaux going out there, I mean, it was sick because 19-degree weather is freaking cold out. It is cold, and you're running 19 degrees. It's 19 degrees out, and you're running 80 miles per hour.
Yeah.
So we really gave it up to him because he actually came back. Mike and I were in the stand in the media area watching the first weigh-in, and Boudreaux couldn't get warm. He was freezing.
Wow.
So we were very happy he went. They had 107,000 people come through in really technically 2.5 days of the Classic being open.
Wow.
And it's just, I mean, one of the things, have you ever been to an ICAST?
No, I'm going this year for the first time.
Okay, well, you'll find out quickly. ICAST is, it for us in the industry, is a big deal. I can honestly say, from here on out, I would rather go to a Bassmaster than an ICAST.
Wow.
Only because it's that much more fun. There's average people there. There's just people that you're in line with them, and they just love to talk fishing with you. They're just average Joes, and then they're all as excited as you are about who they're meeting, and it is really an awesome thing. And honestly, we talked to Cliff Pace on day two before he was going out on the water. And if you would have told me Cliff Pace was going to win, I would have told you were crazy. But Cliff Pace pulled it off and knocked it out of the park. He really did knock it out of the park.
Yeah, he did awesome.
And,
you know, cannot say enough about how well he did.
Yeah, he you think he won $500,000. Do you know how much second place won?
I have no
second
idea.
Second place won $45,000. So it's life changing compared to $45,000 is a salary for someone for a year. But
right.
If you look at the discrepancy between first and second place, but everybody, all 53 anglers that are out there at least got $10,000 for the 3 days of fishing. So I'm sure they all made some money. And it really is. It's a lot of fun. You guys, you should go for sure if you're anywhere nearby.
All right. You hear that, Chip? We're going to the Bassmaster Classic in next year in Alabama. Chip's in the chat room. So, yeah, man, I was following you guys. Folks, if you don't know, follow these guys on Facebook, the Fishing Florida Radio page. Always some good stuff. What you guys coming up this coming weekend, man?
What is this? Oh, I have no idea how this guy got in touch with us. There's a world championship of squirrel cook-off, and I am ready to bomb this guy. He has no clue what he is walking into.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm looking forward to talking to him. And you want to know who else we have? We have one of the owners of Bass, Jerry McGinnis from the Fishing Hole, on with us.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Because there's, yeah, it should be all right. We had Ken Duke from Bassmaster. We're kind of doing something what you're doing. We're trying to influx a little bit more freshwater fishing into the show. Because I appreciate that. I appreciate you changing the name of your show, and maybe mm-hmm. talking a little more freshwater fishing.
Yeah, man, I truly enjoy it, and I cannot thank you for letting me steal your spot for Orca Coolers. I know Orca is uber excited to hear your voice on the internet and some more. And yeah, man, I cannot thank you enough for coming on. I was sitting here going, man, you know, because I've been having issues with my dashboard all day, and I was thinking, man, you just can't get in here, so. It's good to have you on, man. More than welcome anytime, you know, to give us an idea of what's going on with your show or, you know, just talk fishing. I know you guys are having the shad run right now. You want to give us a little report on the shad?
Well, you know, what happened is if you might not know this, Mark, shad fishing is my favorite type of fishing. I love mm-hmm. going shad fishing on I used to do it on 5-weight. Last year I switched over to 4. This year I switched over to 3. I love shad fishing. It's on the top of my list. Light tackle, throwing the fly, it's everything I like to do. So the shad run this year was on a 1 to 10 was probably an 8 or a 9. The water mm-hmm. levels were a little high.
Right.
But excluding the water levels being high, there were a lot of fish that made it from Jacksonville all the way down to where we go fishing over on what we call Jolly Gator, Shad Alley. And
right.
we call it the Florida Salmon Run is what we call it, even though it's shad. they've made their way all the way past Jolly Gator, and actually tomorrow I know where they are, and I'm going to go hit them up down past 50, that's State Road 50 on in here in Florida, and I'm going to, this is really sad to say, on Tuesday I put all my shad gear away. I have 3 and 4-weight fly rods, and I this is stupid, but I practically cried putting it away. I thought, oh, I can't believe that the run's over. I feel terrible. And then my wife was in here earlier, and I said, I should go down past 50 and check it out. And she was like, yeah, yeah, go, do it. And now I'm thinking, I got to break out the fly rod. So I'm actually excited. I'm going to go try find them tomorrow for a few hours. I think I actually do know where they are. But it's so much fun. If I go out there and catch 50 or 60 in 2 or 3 hours.
Right.
And they're anywhere between, you know, 16 and 20 inches. I had one
wow.
fish break me off this year, and I told everybody it might have pushed 23 inches. It didn't. It was so big, I couldn't. My mind stopped. I couldn't believe it was a shad. And as I brought it up to the boat, I kept thinking, did a tarpon follow these shad up here? And then I kept looking at it and kept looking at it, and my brain just stopped. And as I looked at it, it made one big head shake and snapped my. You know, I'm only using 4-pound tippet at the most, maybe 2-pound tippet, and it broke the line. And as it went down, my buddy goes, I've never seen a shad look that big. I go, I thought I was going crazy. But it's just awesome. It's an awesome time for fishing for me anyway. I mean,
right.
Everyone else thinks they're just bycatch. I love that they jump in the air. I love that they fight real hard. And, you know, on a 3-weight fly rod, they can take some drag. And you got to be careful because you'll break that rod pretty easily if you don't baby them a little bit. So it's awesome fun, man.
That sounds like a blast, brother. Excuse me. Oh, man. I'm getting over cold. And, folks, like I said, this is Steve Chapman with Fishing Florida Radio. Check them out every Saturday. Actually, you can listen to them anytime through their podcast on the website, fishingfloridaradio.com. And, man, I can't thank you enough for calling in.
And you know what, man? Anytime you need my help, all you got to do is ask. I've got a couple connections. I keep telling Lozier,
just tell me who you want to have on, and I'll call them and put them in touch with you. So if you need somebody, all you got to do is ask, man.
Then I'll get in touch with you later in the week, and we'll get something rocked out.
Excellent, man. Thank you very much for the time, man.
All right. Thanks, brother. All right.
Later, bro.
Later, man. Cool. Little heads up, folks. If you want to give me some support this coming Saturday, if you're in the Central Virginia area, I will be fishing the Bassmasters Weekend Series on Lake Gaston. It's on Saturday. I'll be fishing as a co-angler. And full report next Wednesday. Cannot thank everyone enough. I almost forgot one guy, Mike Ortego, and Tackle Webs. If you don't have them on your boat, your kayak, I mounted them in my truck underneath my dash to hold paperwork and stuff like that. Absolutely awesome stuff. So definitely check out tacklewebs.com. And this will be my last spot of the night. I'd like to thank everyone that showed up. I'm going to unmute him now. See if, I'd like to thank Paul.
Pleasure, man. It was great being with you, dude.
Yeah, absolute blast, brother.
And being with you, man.
We'll definitely talk soon, and best of luck to you with your trip at the end of the week.
Yeah, thanks, dude. It's going to be a long, it's a boy like that trip, man. It's 15-hour flight.
Oh, man. Oh, wow, that's awful.
So if any of the kayakers listening in South Florida, if I may say, Mark, I'm having a clinic tomorrow night in Davie near Fort Lauderdale at Competition Tackle and Marine.
There you go, folks.
Your unfair lures, we're going to be there giving away a bunch of lures and stuff like that and getting the South Florida yak anglers, get them the edge, man. Get them ahead of the freaking pack.
All right, man.
Testing their bull bay rods out. How's that?
Excellent.
Good deal. Thanks, Mark. Have a lovely evening and a lovely evening to all the listeners.
You too, brother.
Cheers, man.
Stay safe. Bye. All right. With that, we're going to call it done. First Low Sodium show I consider a success. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. Please let me know if you want me to change anything, add something, do whatever. We will change up for you. It'll truly be a great time, and I truly want to, you know, help everyone out. From Chip Gibson, Hammerhead, Tommy Head, Jigs, Yak Chum, and everyone who showed up, I cannot thank you enough. For everyone listening to the podcast, again, let me know, send me a report, and I'll get your name out there for all the masses, get you 15 minutes of fame. With that, we are going to leave on the backside of little... a little bit of little 70s soul, little twang. All right, everybody, good night. Remember, folks, take a kid fishing, always wear your PFD, and get your fish on, man. With that, you have listened to the Low Sodium Show, only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. Get you some of that. Mm-hmm.